Okay, so let's. I got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
This is it's something I've been thinking about a little bit because I've been watching a lot of like Among Us streams, and Among Us is all about people talking, right?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So like, but you so you'll like be watching one person stream, but you'll be hearing like 10 people talk and everything. So I was just wondering, do you ever like a person's voice, like just like the way they sound?
Oh, yeah. Like, can you be sexually attracted to a voice?
I didn't
Totally.
say anything about sexual. I meant like just like a voice is pleasing to your ear. Not like sensual or sultry or whatever. Just like I like hearing this person talk, and it's not making me attracted to them. It's just like I like that sound, the way their voice is.
Yes, sure. I mean, if I'm willing to go the other step, I feel like I can like someone's voice too.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm not discounting that in any way, but like I was specifically asking about just like
Yeah.
sort of like pleasing ear, but like if there I guess there is also like the sexy voice and sort of like different sorts of things like that, but that wasn't really what I was going for.
Yeah, I guess I took it too far. And yes, you can like voices. What about like musicians, though? Isn't that basically the premise of like vocals?
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, but like music for me isn't always about the singer itself. Like obviously there can be good music but okay vocalists, and then some people just have the pipes, you know, and can sing really
Yeah.
well. But like I've never really I guess no, now that I think about it, I guess there are types of music that I just kind of don't listen to because I don't like the voice. Like when like pop punk sort of voices get really really whiny, like that really kind of nasal punk singing,
Yep.
like I don't like that most of the time.
But like you're okay with like Blink-182?
Yeah, that's like the limit. Like
Yeah.
Blink-182 is I love them, but I can't really go past that. And I always preferred Mark to Tom.
Okay. Like I don't know. I know they just have unique voices that if I say Blink-182, it's always that's in the pleasing side of the threshold, and then I know there's certainly bands that go past that. What I was thinking as well, so like I have family members and friends who actually like they just don't like female vocalists, like regardless of who it is, that I happen to really like female vocalists covering like male rock songs.
Yeah, I like oh God, I can't remember the genre or what it would be called. I'm trying, God, it's something metal, I think. But you know, like Nightwish or Amaranth, I think is the name. Amaranth? God, I have their albums. I should know this.
Amon Amarath or something like that?
I think it's like Amaranthe.
Oh.
I want to say. I'm looking it up real fast because I
Amon
am.
Amarth is not a female vocalist. I was thinking of that's like screaming metal.
Amaranth is an album. Yeah,
Okay.
Amaranth is a band. Okay, I got it right. But yeah, so that like sort of like that operatic singing with like heavy metal behind it,
Yeah.
like sort like Evanescence is at like the bottom end of it, like Amy Lee and her singing, but like more than like you get to like Nightwish and other bands like that. There's a specific genre term for it and I can't come up with it. But yeah, I like female vocalists a lot.
Like I've been weirdly so like Miley Cyrus has gotten a huge resurgence, not for her albums, but like on YouTube. Like they have live concert footage or like her doing like studio tracks of like covers of like 80s bands and stuff. And I really like Miley Cyrus's vocals. Like just her singing cover songs of like songs that I like. I haven't really listened to her stuff because I'm always like, that's not my type of music, that pop style that she has. But when she covers like 80s songs, oh man, she's really good.
Well, yeah, I've always thought that Miley Cyrus had like a good voice and was like good at singing, but like I just don't like you, I don't really like her style. Like or like the style that she was doing before. I haven't actually listened to any of those covers, but I've heard about that.
They're quite good. I recommend them. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I usually got into music for lyricists themselves, so not necessarily the quality of the voice or the sound of the voice. I cared more about the words, and like, I wasn't really big on like guitars or like the music. All I really liked at first was words, but then I started to get into riffs. But then, like, only recently have I started to go like, I like this person's voice, or this person, when they cover this song, I like this song more, because what did they bring to it different besides like, they didn't change the style or anything, just the vocals.
What I've realized I like is bands that have more than one vocalist. I especially like bands that have like a female vocalist and a male vocalist, and there's like a contrast where like the female will sing like the verse and then the male will do like the chorus, or some sort of like trade off. I like the having like multiple. It's why I liked Linkin Park, because you had Chester who did the singing and then Mike did the rapping vocals, usually that sort of stuff. You know, I bring up Evanescence again, and Amaranth is another one. They actually have three vocalists. They have a female singer, a male singer, and then like a male screamer who just kind of does like the growly sort of heavy metal typical vocals.
Are you a fan of Imagine Dragons?
Some songs. I've gotten a couple of their albums, and some of their songs I like and some I don't. And it's so like, they're like hit or miss. Like there are some that I really enjoy, but not all of them. I wouldn't put them in like a favorites list.
And then I guess I'll pull it back though. So you just meant though people who are talking.
Yes. Yeah. I meant just like specific talking, because like I said, I've been listening to a lot of Among Us streams and watching them, and like, I'll hear people talking and it'll be like I like their voice. I'm going to check out their stream so I can hear them talk more about while they're playing. And like, I've followed a couple new people simply just off like hearing them talk and like through the interactions in Among Us. I was like, oh, they like just the sound of their voice is like, okay, I would like listening to them when I'm doing other stuff, you know, because like a lot of stream when I'm watching streams or whatever, I'm doing something else on the computer too. I'm not completely focused on just the stream. And so it's almost like podcast voice, you know, you're listening to someone.
Can I guess one of the people you're following? Is it Corpse?
Well, yeah, Corpse is the big one, because he has like such a like distinct.
Yeah.
Like, and it's the contrast, because he has that like deep, so deep voice, but he's so nice and like friendly that it's nice to hear him talk. And he has a good voice. Yeah, he's definitely
because that was the only one when it was like the AOC stream, that was the one where I was like, oh, that dude's voice is nice. Like, it is that's the one where I was like, oh, this is a pleasant like vocal that is distinct and unique.
Yeah, he has a good voice. He's one of them. There was another one, he goes by Sykuno on like YouTube and Twitch. And I like the way he talks a lot too. His voice, his voice is really soothing and like friendly and sort of, not like in Corpse's way, but he sounds gentle and he's also a nice person. And like, he's always friendly and like trying to like keep everyone in a good mood. And so like, his voice just really is another person that I was like, I'm going to follow him because I like the way he talks and how he sounds.
Are you into ASMR? Like,
that's... No, actually I am not. I've never really gotten into that. Like, I've listened to like one or two and just been like, no, that sort of experience isn't what I'm looking for. So it's weird. I know, but yeah.
I'm trying to think of voices otherwise for me, like because that's not a defining usual characteristic. Like, I'll appreciate or if it's unique or so, but it's not something that immediately jumps to mind outside of like Corpse, where I'm like, oh, this person has a good voice that I can think of right away, where I'm like, I like that person's voice as an example. But I'm sure there's certainly things where I'm like, oh, I like this, but I don't know. Yeah, it's not something I tend to jump to right away.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be. Hello.
No, we're not doing that. This is not a sexy voice podcast. And if it was, that would be a terrible sexy voice.
I wasn't going for sexy there, but I see that we think alike, at least. I was just going for deep voice. I'm flattered, though.
Oh, God. Okay. So I've discovered while looking up the spelling that apparently Amaranth has a new album out this year that I didn't know about. So I need to actually check that and see if that's good. Actually, holy shit, they have two albums. Damn, I'm really behind. I'm so bad at keeping up with music now. Do you feel that? Okay, because like I have a lot of bands I really like and I listen to them and I have like, you know, all their MP3s on my different iPods and iPhones and Androids and computers and everything. And then, like, I'll look them up and be like, they've released three new albums since the last one you listened to. And I'm like, how did I miss this? Anyway.
My problem, do you have Apple Music?
No. Had Google. So like, I don't do any of the streaming things is the problem. Uh-huh. Like, I don't have a Spotify. I don't have Apple Music. I don't really... do the Amazon streaming one anymore.
I would say don't do it. Don't do it. It kills your, like, that hunger I had for tapes, CDs, records, and me keeping track. Because I have Apple Music now, I stop following it because I'm just like, oh, if I want to, I have access to everything. I don't have to look to buy it. I'll just, oh, it's out. I'll check it out. But because of that, I'm not physically owning it anymore. And so I don't care, like, oh, I got to go out and buy this, or I got to order it when it comes out. Like, oh, I was surprised. There's an AC/DC album coming out, like, next month or so. And I'm like, oh, Apple Music will probably have it at that time. And then I don't listen to it is the problem, though.
That's the problem with, like, Spotify and all those others is that it's very easy to access all the music you already know you like. Mm-hmm. But I've never... gotten really good recommendations out of it. Like, I never really got into Pandora. I know some people swear by it and use that still, but like I don't know. A lot of it is because when I was working in the office all the time, I can't stream because it would kill my data, so I needed downloaded stuff, so I never got into Spotify or anything. And you know, I've been working at home for the last god I guess a year now, almost, it feels like. And I guess it would make more sense to have streaming while I'm working from home because, you know, the Wi-Fi doesn't matter as much. But, you know, that's why initially I've been like holding out against it, because the main time I listened to music was either when I was driving or when I was at work, and neither of those places have Wi-Fi.
See, for me, like, the thing that's happened is I've started to replace all the times I listen to music with all the times I listen to podcasts then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for me, I have specific moods. And, like, sometimes I'll really want to just sit down and listen to a podcast or watch a stream or, you know, YouTube videos. And that'll be, like, the good background noise. And then sometimes I am not in a mood to have talking and I just want to have... actual background noise, and that's when I have the music playing. And a lot of times I actually get more work done when I have music playing than when I have talking, because my mind wanders and I start like paying attention to both, and I'll go like back and forth. But music, I can really like hone in on the work while my brain is absorbing the music, you know. It's all the songs just go straight into my brain. That's why I like listening to video game music too, because it's
there's a whole, I guess, not just genre, there's a whole probably bunch of listeners who are into video game music, and I just never can get into it. It's just like beeps and boops.
I mean, that is the very unimaginative, like, 16-bit era sort of like NES beeps and boops. Like, I'm not talking just like video game music is not just chip tunes anymore. Oh, you know, they have like full orchestrations and, you know, rock music and all sorts of composers and everything. And it's not just like chip tune music, which is probably what you're thinking of.
It is, because so Generic Johnson, our mm-hmm. former roommate, was super into actual chiptune music, to where he would want to get covers of like real music chiptuned. So that's why I'm like, okay, like that to me is like, he likes video game music, but it's just like remix on remix on remix of like Mega Man and various other things. But it's all to me like beeps and boops.
I mean, I like the beeps and boops, but I also like, you know, orchestral rock music, like, and there's a lot of guitar covers on like YouTube, or electronic covers of songs from video games that you know, translate you from beeps and boops to actual riffs and things like that. And a lot of video game music is designed as a way to like not be distracting. Like, the whole point of video game music is to emphasize whatever you're doing in the video game, but you don't want it to also stop you. Like, you want it to amp you up. Like, a good boss fight music has you like into the game, because you're like fighting this boss that, you know, you've worked your way 20 hours into the game to fight, and then like the orchestra hits and you're like, yeah, this is the climax, this is what I want. And so music like that is designed to like, it's not, you don't want the listener to like put the controller down and be like, all right, I'm gonna listen to this for 20 minutes before I start playing the game again. You want it to like emphasize the action, the way like a score and a good score in a movie will emphasize what's happening on screen, you know, like with the swells and different riffs and you know, like, you know, a good Hans Zimmer brah at the right time.
See, for me, like, there's two soundtracks and like one sound effect sort of music thing that comes to mind when I think of like video game music. Of course, Toe Jam and Earl was different for me because it didn't feel like beeps and boops. So that's why that one was special. But the other one, the only other actual video game soundtrack I own, I don't know if I've mentioned it before, was it Command and Conquer Red Alert?
That sounds...
The one where the Russians attack America. It wasn't it's not one of the older Command and Conquers, but it was a sort of... It was right on the shift where they updated the graphics and everything like that. But like, I think I was still in high school for it, and the CD came with like, so there was a video game and it came with a disc of music, and I'm like, oh God, video game music. I put it into my car. It's the first like probably good techno music that I've ever heard, where holy shit, it's all climax the whole time, intermixed with like video game sound effects, like literally of like the troops as they say little things or little clips like interspersed through it, just remixed into this intense like pulse pounding, like every track was all rise, and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. There was no like lull in it. It was the exact opposite. It was like all boss fight music.
And you know, that's good. I love boss fight music. That's usually most of what I like from video games, is like the energetic sort of rock tracks, but there are others that are really good. I am going to, when this podcast is over with, I'm going to text you a bunch of YouTube links, and I want you to listen to them.
Okay. I can do that.
It will be a generous selection, but let me know what you think. But I
can take a look. Sure. Yeah,
that I feel like, as a video game podcast, part of making you a gamer is I'm going to drag you into good video game music.
Oh, God.
So to anyone listening to this right now, I would really appreciate it if you would send us some of your favorite video game songs. I don't care if you get them to me through Twitter or our email at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Send them to me through Discord or post them in the Discord. I love video game music, and I know there are people listening to this right now that know songs that aren't just beeps and boops.
But if you have a really good beep and boop song, sure, send that in.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the good beeps and boops as well, because as we all know, there are plenty of good ones. Like The Moon from DuckTales, the original NES. Like, that is one of the, like, most well-known and, like, classic video game melodies of all times. Mega Man 2, Wily Stage 1. God, what else? I'm blanking, like, but, like, you know, like, the first level of Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh.
You know, I'm trying to, like, specifically think of, like, NES games. And, like, then you get into, like, 16-bit SNES games. Like, Chrono Trigger has one of the best soundtracks of all time. You know, I can talk about Chrono Trigger all day. I'm not going to. But, you know, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, Tetris Attack, Super Mario World, F-Zero. Like, these are all games with amazing soundtracks. And before, like, you could get, like, full orchestrated sort of regular guitar, and all, it was all more chiptune-y style music. But all of those are fantastic soundtracks.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I wasn't meaning to get into that. God, I could talk for an entire episode about music in video games and stuff, but it would be weird because we can't really play music on the podcast.
We could link to them, maybe? I don't know if that's allowed.
No, I mean, I guess that, but that doesn't have the same thing. Like, I want to, like, play it, you know? Like, if I'm talking about all this cool music, I want to be able to have it in the background in some way or do something with it, but I can't. Speaking of video game music, though, Fuser comes out soon, which is going to be awesome. And that's not...
What is it?
Fuser is basically the next thing that's coming out by Harmonix, who did Guitar Hero and Rock Band and DJ... No, they didn't do DJ Hero. What did they do? I guess they did other versions of Rock Band, and they did the board game Drop Mix. And Fuser is basically Drop Mix, but as a video game. And I'm really excited for that. So it's got, like, a huge soundtrack of, like, songs you hear on the radio, like pop, rock, rap, hip-hop, techno, that sort of stuff. And you basically, there's, like, a free mode and then, like, a challenge mode or, like, story mode or whatever. But you're basically, like, mixing the songs together, and you take, like, the bass from one song and the vocals from another song and the drums from another song and the lead guitar from another song, and, like, make your own sort of remixes using different songs, and they have a bunch of licenses and everything, and it's going to be good. I played it back at PAX East, the last thing I did this year, back in February. And I'm really looking forward to it. That's out, I think, November 10th, I want to say. So it'll be pretty close to when this is coming out, if it's not already out by the time this comes out. But, yeah. I did want to talk about specific things today. No news or anything, but I've been playing a couple games I was kind of hoping to talk to you about. We can start with Stasis if you want, since you also played that a little bit.
Sure, yeah. So... us combining our heads together, it did work. Like, I was able to remove that drill piece, and then we probably figured it out. You have to drill the thing in the thing, and then that allows us access to the elevator, at least, so we could get off the goddamn first floor.
Yeah, yeah. I drilled the thing with the thing, and turning the knob was what got it done for me. That's what I was missing, so...
And then... I played a little bit more, and so the next puzzle that I haven't solved, I'm not necessarily stuck at, I just didn't finish going through it all, is the train puzzle.
Yeah, I'm at the tram as well.
Okay, have you solved it?
I think I finished it. I just didn't get on the tram because I figured it was going to do something, like there might be a cutscene or whatever, and I was tired, so I didn't want to keep going into the game. I didn't want to, it felt like the end of a section. And so I felt like stopping there before I got on the tram and got addicted to figuring out what was coming next. So I stopped at the tram.
And my guy is basically like one level away from, he has to go to the tram and he's probably going to solve the puzzle at the tram.
So I want to say, I think you helped me avoid death.
Ah, because I got an achievement.
Yeah. And I saw you got that achievement, and I was like, I wonder how that happened. And then something happened while I was trying to solve a puzzle, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is probably what killed him. And I did not die. So why don't you tell me what happened and see if what I surmised was correct?
So I got an achievement for basically being melted to death. And I will say, I didn't realize what I was doing the first time it happened, which is why I melted to death. In the sense of, I was just fiddling around. There's a frozen room of, like, I guess it's the autopsy room, or like where they store cadavers, and everything is frozen. Yeah, the morgue. And so I got into the morgue, it's all frozen, and there's a furnace. And I'm like, oh, okay. But my style has been, I've got a toilet rag, I'm just going to stick the toilet rag everywhere. I tried sticking it on, like, the doors to open it. It didn't work. And then I stuck it, and it suddenly stuck to the furnace. And I was like, that's weird. I wonder what that does. And then I clicked the furnace button, not realizing that, like, oh, now the furnace is on. And I'm like, oh, let me watch and see. And then it's like, oh, it's getting real hot. And then it was like, I should leave. And I start to walk slowly to the exit. And if you walk slowly to the exit and you don't immediately run for the exit, you die. And yeah. I didn't even know that's how I was supposed to. And then it was like, ah, shit. Luckily, the save isn't so bad in the game. I just came, like, outside of that level. I walked back in, and this time I intentionally did what I needed to do, realizing what it would do. But at that time, I just was like, oh, I'll push a button and see what happens.
Yeah, so, like, I pretty much did the same thing. I was, like, trying to figure out what I was supposed to do in this room, and I'm like, well, I have a rag. I'll click on, it seems like the furnace door is what I need to be working with. So I clicked on the rag, and it did the thing where I was like, okay, I clearly did something with this, but I don't know what it's supposed to accomplish. So then I opened the door, and like it said, the warnings were going off, and the furnace was on, and I saw everything heating up, and like my brain just went, Harvey melted to death. Oh, God, I need to get out of here. And so I just sprinted out and then walked back in, and everything was like burnt to a crisp. And
because I just walked over to where the exit was, but I didn't leave the room because I was like, oh, if it's a video game, what if I leave and it resets or something? I'll just stay away from the furnace. No, you have to leave the room.
Yeah, so you inadvertently helped me because I probably would have just stood there dumbly and burned to death too. Like, if I hadn't seen your achievement while I was getting ready to play, I was like, that's interesting.
That is an interesting feature that Steam just suddenly shows, and you see, like, oh, melted. Okay. Harvey Z melted. You got that achievement. Yeah.
You're going to see it next time you log into Steam, you're going to see an achievement that I got, which was interesting. Because I took the drill and I was just clicking around with it, and I clicked on myself with it, and the guy just took the drill and drilled himself in the head and killed himself.
He does? Like, you get stupid?
Yeah, I was just like messing around, and I used the drill on a bunch of different things, and then I had it and clicked it on myself, and he just takes it and just like drills his own head in and falls over, and you get a game over. And so
wow, because like that happened. I had like the broken shard, and I tried that on myself, and it's like, no, that wouldn't work. So I assumed you couldn't stupid in the game.
Oh no, you apparently can stupid.
I kind of want that achievement. At some point, I'm gonna have to drill myself in the head to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't lose too much progress because I had saved recently before I messed around with it, but yeah. So apparently that is a thing you can do in this game. And between melting and then accidentally drilling myself, it's kind of like these puzzles are not just click everything until you solve them and then move on. There's actual hazards we've got to worry about, which I guess makes sense since it's kind of like billed as a horror-y game.
Have you gotten, like, do you feel like it's a good horror game at this point? Like, do we have enough to review it now? Can we review this game?
I don't think so. I still think this is like the starting area. Like, I feel like we're just starting to get into the story, like, because we got a little more information. Right? Have you gotten the information? You've gotten some information, right?
Probably, yeah, I have. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm basically at this point, like, I saw the corpse room, basically, the morgue. Right,
yeah.
And so that's where I am. I just finished the morgue.
Okay. If you did that, then you definitely have gotten the same information I have. So, yeah, like, I'm trying not to spoil anything just in case people want to experience this game themselves or, like, wait.
Would you recommend it at this point, or you're not sure yet?
Yeah, again, I'm not sure. Like, it's right now it's straightforward point and click.
Yeah.
In like an isometric style. So if I don't know how the story is going to go, but like there aren't any other mechanics to the game, it seems like. It is just simply point and click. You have an inventory, you've got to figure out how to use your inventory to get you through the next puzzle.
And it's not really that challenging puzzle-wise, because, again, if you get stuck, you could do what I did, which is you just walk around clicking on everything, and then inadvertently you'll solve stuff. That's also how I solved, like, the glass shard. What do I do with it? I was just clicking around, and then, oops, oh, that's weird. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, that one I actually figured out. That one wasn't an accidental one, because the morgue has like I was looking at the morgue, and the morgue had a clearance level, and then you come across the guy who has his little title has like a clearance level, and it's the same, and I'm like,
I didn't even know he had that. I didn't check his clearance level. I was just like, there's a guy here, I know I need to get the morgue, how am I going to pick him up and stuff, I don't know, dirty whatever, this thing, and then class, and I was like, oh, I did not expect that solution. Okay, I guess that
what
works.
Are you gonna do now? You don't have a dirty towel to put on everything because you used it up. Like, what
I have a new tool to put on everything.
That's fair. It's an actual tool this time too.
That's gonna be my plan for solving the tram puzzle.
All right, so that's how far we are. Again, we still, I think I'm a little over an hour in. I think I want to say hour and a half.
Oh, I'm definitely, because I was an hour last time. I'm at like hour and a half to probably, I don't think 2 hours, but yeah, I'm slowly creeping up there. But then again, you know, I'm not used to this, so I'm just like wandering around slowly and stuff.
So another game I wanted to talk about is a game that I started playing again that I think you've played, and I don't know how recently you've played it or how far you got, but you've played Darkest Dungeon, right?
Oh yeah, I love Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, so I the first time I played Darkest Dungeon, I got very upset with it and didn't like it because I was playing, and I don't think I really understood the mechanics of the game yet, and wasn't really playing it the right way. Like, I was not realizing how important it was to use status effects and was instead always going for like straight damage, which isn't the best way to go through the game. Mm-hmm. And so I had like leveled up one character to like, I think level 3 or whatever. And I decided to do like my first like medium level dungeon, not like medium length, but like medium or veteran, I think the level 3 dungeons. And when I tried to do it, like the first battle, my best guy got comboed to death before I could even do anything. Like, the enemies stunned him and then like just did a bunch of damage to him and ended up killing him before I even had a chance to heal him or anything. And I was like, this game is bullshit, I'm not gonna play it anymore, and put it away. So then, you know, I've been playing Hades a lot and got back into like roguelikes and other stuff. And, you know, I was like looking at Darkest Dungeon. I'm like, you know, I'm going to try this one again from the beginning and see if maybe I know a little bit more about how to play these now that I've been playing roguelikes and other things a lot more, and see if I maybe gave it an unfair chance the first time. And the good news is I definitely gave it a bad rap the first time around. Like, I'm really like enjoying myself the second time around.
Is this your second or third time playing it, like, ever kind of thing? Like,
This is my second, like, fresh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you basically had a rage quit episode, because it can happen where, yes, you can get XCOM'd, basically. Like, you get fucked. That's why, like, my strategy has been, at least, like, I had to play it 2-3 times, like, through like starting over kind of thing, and like having one single awesome character is, oh, you don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I've learned is like, it's very important to like create team synergy and like have when your squads go out, they like work together well. And it's more about having the right group of people being able to interact and deal the right amount of damage to what you're facing. Like the most recent mission I went on, it was a boss mission. Nice. I can't remember which one it was, but it was like a second level boss. So like I've gotten to like the veteran levels where you're fighting a boss you've already fought before, but it's like harder.
And I haven't gotten that far then. I think I've beaten the bosses all of the first time around. I didn't know you fought them two times.
Yeah. So like there's like easy level, which are like the level apprentice level one missions that you do. And then there's veteran level three, and then there's level five missions. And I haven't done any level five missions because I'm scared. but I've been doing some of the medium levels, and like I had a good squad that was decent and I knew what I was doing with them, and they didn't have any problems with any of the regular enemies. But then I got to the boss, and while they had great synergy, while my squad was like good, it was not good for the boss. And so I ended up having to retreat in the middle of the boss fight, because if I didn't, I was just going to have a team wipe. Like in like three turns, he had dropped all my guys to like five hit points, and I didn't have a strong enough healing to get everyone back in the game based on his. And anyway, long story short, like it's all about knowing what you're facing and preparing the right way. And I definitely didn't do that the first time, but I'm having a really, really fun time with it now that I've kind of gotten a better grip on how you're supposed to play it. And I'm not as attached to my characters. Like I've definitely lost a couple good ones. Like I fought one boss, the Hag, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know if you remember, but like it's a boss where she basically kidnaps one of your party and sticks them in a pot. And you have to, like, every one of her turns, or the pot's turn, I guess, like, the hero in there takes damage, and you have to, like, hit the pot to knock it over and, like, get your party member back. And so I got just extremely unlucky where she just grabbed the same person, like, three or four times in a row, and it was my healer. And every time I, like, freed my healer before they got a chance to act, the Hag put her back in the pot again, and eventually my healer died, but I was able to kill the Hag because my party was good. No one else took any damage the entire time. Like I was just like destroying the Hag, but because she picked the same person every time, I just didn't have a chance to heal that person, and they ended up dead, and it sucked. But like,
the other thing maybe also is like, so a big part of the game is positioning. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's where like, they may have constantly been attacked if they were in the same position every time.
Well, that's the thing is that I didn't have a chance to do anything with them. Like what would happen is she got picked up like the very first round. And so like I would free her. And then before I could do anything, the Hag got an action, and that action was to put her back in the pot. And, like, I couldn't control where she was coming out or move her because the Hag always put her back in before I could do anything. Like, I never had a chance to heal her or move her or do anything with her. And so it was just unlucky. Like, if it all she'd had, if she had literally picked one other person at any point in any, at any point in the phase, I could have won with all four of them, because I was absolutely not in danger of dying. It was good. I was killing her. She was going down fast, but she just, it was bad. It was unlucky. It was just like a crit shot that, you know, the sectopod gets you from downtown and suddenly you lose your guy. And
that's fine. Where like, for me, when I was playing that game, one of the big, like when I kind of had an insight slash oh, this is how you play the game. Because I was in that same kind of boat as you, which is use strength. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll create teams of synergy. But then the new kind of the next level for me was, oh, I have some players that I usually fast players. I can't remember. It's like the it's the female pilgrim, like the thief or something. And I think the jester are the two biggest, where they were really quick characters who could move back.
Is it the
back
grave robber?
Yes, the grave robber, I think it is.
Yeah. Where I like her a lot. She's one of my favorites.
She's a huge character for positioning, actually, because of her thing. She can make people move forwards and back on the team by moving herself. And that kind of changed the game, because in those sorts of situations where, oh, this person got taken, my first assumption is always, did they get taken because that's where they were? And that person may not get to go again where they, whenever they're put in, but like a fast character could have a chance to like, I'm going to have to make a stupid attack that's weaker that I don't like, but it'll put this person in the way or create a blocking opportunity kind of thing. So I started to focus not on the damage output, but like on like the dance of my characters then for a while. And that's when like the game kind of shifted into me like, oh, this is what this game is kind of trying to set up for me. So it's definitely, I mean, I like it a lot. I haven't like beaten it just because I'll play it for periods of time. And if I go away though, I forget the mechanics and then I have to come back and like, oh, but I really, really like Darkest Dungeon. I'm glad you liked it. Cause I remember you played it once and you got a bad beat on that one. And it was like, ah, oh, but I'm glad you came back to it.
Yeah, no, it's actually been good. I'm playing it on the easiest mode. Like yeah. I can't imagine playing it on harder stuff because it's already like difficult. It's like I would put it beyond like XCOM or anything else in terms of difficulty. Like it is punishing if you don't know what you're doing and don't play by the rules of the game.
There are still some parts of it where if you just do a certain thing, you will get a total party wipe. I don't want to give it away because I'd rather, but there is a certain object that if you interact with, it's not a boss or anything. It's just a thing. And if you click on it, it leads to a total party wipe and there's nothing you can fucking do about it except strong enough to win. But if you're not, you'll just die.
Well, that's fun. Okay.
Once you discover what it is, then in the future, you just always, you'll see this object again and you just avoid it. You just know that, okay, this is, because it's one of those, like, it's an achievement where if you actually win that thing, good job, but it's, you don't want to do it because, yeah, there's no point to going in there and dying because you know exactly what it is. It's always the same thing and it's going to be like some insanely hard boss, basically, that is an extra objective that if you beat it, you get an achievement for beating him. That's it.
Interesting. Yeah, I went into the first medium dungeon I went into, I was just like walking around and I ended up fighting like this absurdly hard mini boss that wasn't even like the boss I was trying to fight. And like he was just like showed up in like a hallway and I had to fight him. And it was more difficult than a lot of the boss fights so far. And I managed to like barely squeak by and kill him without losing anybody. And then I like immediately retreated from the dungeon because I was like, that took out like nearly all my stamina. I'm not going to be able to make it and also fight a new boss. So I'm out of here. But it was just like out of nowhere. Like, hey, here's a mini boss that's just as tough as the regular bosses. Good luck.
That's the other XCOM feature of it, where the first time I played XCOM, like I didn't know what to expect. Every time I saw a new alien, I'm like, holy shit, what's it going to do? And I'm like super on high alert. The boss fights feel like that, where the boss, you could have a great team and a great synergy, but the boss is going to have a unique like feature that could just destroy your synergy regardless. Like you can't create a team that can destroy every single thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about knowing what you're fighting and having like a good build for that fight. Like each different like area you go into has different main types of enemies, and so knowing like, well, these enemies are good against, or it's good to have blight against these enemies, or it's good to have bleed against these, that sort of preparing ahead of time. Like right now my current favorite combo is the plague doctor with the grave robber.
Uh-huh.
Because the plague doctor can blight multiple targets, and then the grave robber has her knife throws do extra damage against blighted people. So I will like just blight everything and just have the grave robber throw knives into them and deal a ton of damage. And she also does more damage against marked. So sometimes I'll even combine it with like the bounty hunter or another one that is able to mark enemies and have them blighted and just do tons of damage with her. Like, that's currently my favorite setup.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a fan. I like the uniqueness of it.
Yeah. And the reason I got into this is because they apparently recently announced a Darkest Dungeon board game Kickstarter.
Yeah, I saw this. What's it about?
I mean, it's basically a co-op board game based off of Darkest Dungeon, and it has like miniatures of all the characters and everything. And I'm tempted to fund it, but I'm also like, I have funded so many miniature based board games already that I don't know if it's a good idea. But I know you like Darkest Dungeon a lot, so I would take a look at it, see if it's up your alley.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a co-op.
Which I also like co-op games as opposed to head-to-head games. So, yeah, and
I assume it's going to play similar to Arkham Horror in the sense of, like, the game is going to be trying to kill you really hard. But, yeah. Dad, there's another game I wanted to talk about. And what did I lose? My brain not working. Oh. I wanted to talk a little bit about another game that's older that I've been playing recently. Have you heard of Dead by Daylight?
The name sounds very familiar, but nothing like comes to mind. You might have mentioned this perhaps even on the zombie one, but what is it? I'm thinking, is it a zombie thing?
No, actually, it's not a zombie thing. So I definitely didn't mention it on the zombie podcast because it has dead in the title, but it's not a zombie game. So Dead by Daylight is an asymmetrical multiplayer game where four players are playing as survivors and working together to escape one other player who is basically playing as the killer.
I've seen this, yes.
And so, like, the killer, most of the killers are, you know, original creations for Dead by Daylight that kind of, like, fall into the typical horror movie traps. There's the trapper who, like, walks around with a machete, but it can place bear traps down. There's there's the nurse, which is, you know, like spooky nurse that can teleport, I think. There's the hillbilly, which walks around with a chainsaw. You know, so there's like this kind of stereotypical
slashers,
horror trope killers. But then there are also the actual horror trope killers. Either Freddy Krueger is one you can play as. They have Ghostface from Scream. They have Michael Myers. They have the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. And the survivors, they have Ash. They have, God, I don't remember her name, but the protagonist from one of the Silent Hill games. And they have other people from like the settings they come. I think it's Nancy and Steve from Stranger Things. Anyway, so like, and basically, the survivors are running around. They have to fix five generators, and the generators open up the exit doors, and then they can escape. And the killer is running around trying to slash the survivors, and if you hit them twice, they're downed, and then you can pick them up and carry them to these hooks. And you hang them up on the hook, and the first time you hang them up, they just kind of, they have like full health. The second time you hang them up, they have to, like, struggle against what they call the entity, which is what you're sacrificing them to. And, like, struggling is just basically tapping a button really fast, which is one of the annoying parts of the game. And then the third time, they just die. So, like, if they get freed by other survivors, if you put them on a hook three times, regardless of whether or not they've been healed with med kits or anything, they just flat out die and they're done. Or if you get all four of them on hooks, you win as the killer sort of thing. And, like, it's a very weird game for me because it's a game that I want to like. Because the idea of being a killer, hunting down other survivors and having, like, supernatural strength and being, like, a slasher out of a slasher film sounds fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and then on the other side, it's fun to like hide from a slasher and like try to survive and you know, have spooky things happen. But it works in some ways, and in some ways I just hate it. So it's a game I have a real complex relationship with. It's
what, like, happened? Yeah.
So like all the mechanics I hate when you're a survivor. Like, you walk around, and when you're repairing generators, basically you hold down a button, and while you're repairing the generator, you have to do like quick time events. So you have to pay attention and like react very quickly and kind of like hit another button when like the dial goes to a certain meter. And if you don't hit it, like, you mess up when you're doing the generator and like you make an explosion and alert the killer to where you are. And so the complexity in the game is like you have to sit on the generator and kind of like watch your back and like watch from all directions and pay attention to make sure the killer isn't coming near you, but also have to pay attention to like doing these quick time events. And I don't like that that's like the primary mechanic. And then I really don't like that if you get put on a hook and don't get rescued, eventually you just have to tap a button really fast for a long time to not die. And like, I hate those types of mechanics. And that's basically 90% of what you're doing as a survivor. Like, 10% of the time a killer finds you and you're doing like chase stuff where you have to like hide or like find a way to like lose him, and you're like throwing pallets down, and you know, that sort of stuff is fun. But the mechanics of when you're doing all the other stuff, it's just not great. Like, to me, being a killer is a lot more satisfying, but it's also not satisfying because the main defense and like high tier play, I guess, if you want to say it like that, is called looping. And basically what that is the killers are naturally slightly faster than the survivors. So they will, if you run in like a straight line, eventually you'll be able to catch any survivors running from you. But what the survivors have to do is basically get the killer in a loop where they're like going around a large enough area that the killer is like losing its momentum, having to like turn corners or turn around back to cut them off or whatever. And so you end up just doing like ring around the rosy for like 5 minutes. Or not 5 minutes, but like it's annoying. And that, but that's like the best play for a survivor to do, is to keep the killer occupied with this one person chasing them around like a cat and mouse while the other three do generators. And it's not fun as the killer to just like run around in a circle until you maybe eventually catch one person. But it's also not fun as a killer if like the survivors are really stupid and just run right at you thinking they can like take the survivor from you. Like, I've had some like 80s stupid teenager horror level survivors. Like, they were absolute morons and I felt good slaughtering them, but it didn't feel good from a gameplay perspective. Like, it wasn't like challenging in any way. And I feel like if you get to a point where it is challenging and the survivors do know what you're doing, you feel impotent as a killer. And it just, neither one feels good. And I want, when I'm playing this game, I want to feel good. When I'm playing any game, I want to be having fun. And there's like a fine line in this game. And you, because it's multiplayer, you never hit it like 90% of the time. Like, I'll give you an example. I was playing with a friend of mine, the friend that introduced me to it, and we were playing a game. It was the two of us as survivors with two other random people versus a random killer. And I had the game of my life. I like repaired three generators all by myself. The killer, I don't think, saw me once. I like rescued people from hooks. I was doing everything. And like eventually the other three, including my friend, all got caught and killed. And I was the last survivor. And there was a point, once you're the last survivor, you have a chance to get out without having to repair all the generators, because that's kind of lame if you're like stuck with like four generators and only one person left, the killer is probably going to get you. So they give you a chance to get out without anyone else. And I pulled off this amazing thing where I was like opening the exit door and the killer came and I like hid behind a tree in some tall grass and the killer like ran around me and completely missed me and then ran off towards the other exit. And I was able to open the exit door and escape. And it was just like this high adrenaline, perfect game where I was just like completely in the zone. And it was great. And that was a great feeling. But we had been playing for 3 hours, and that was the first time I felt that. Every other time, it was like the killer would grab a person, put them on a hook, and then just stand in front of the hook and camp at, waiting for someone to come and try to rescue them, which isn't fun. Or the killer had no idea what they were doing, and we just fixed all the generators and then ran out, and no one was ever in any danger at any time. And that's not fun. And it's like Overwatch, you know? Like, I love Overwatch, but 90% of the time I'm playing Overwatch, I'm either with idiots or playing against idiots. And it's never fun in the like the challenging sort of way where both teams are equal and there's like, it feels good when you either, no matter whether you win or lose, you know? And like, I don't know, like I like, it's a game that I love the concept of and I want to love, but I don't know if I'll be able to play it regularly and like really get into it, you know?
I'm trying to think of how you could solve it. I mean, multiple killers doesn't seem to really, putting in maybe a skill tree, but then it seems like if you just get a high level killer and a high level team, the high level play seems to be this looping strategy.
Unless someone's figured out. There are like skill trees and stuff. Like you can level up and get like special abilities for the killers and for the survivors. Like all that is in there as well. But like I said, you know, like the basic main mechanic is this sort of like looping thing or like trying to distract the killer without running into getting yourself caught. And like, I don't know, it's popular. Like people play it a lot, and like I'm playing it because it was a free PS Plus game a while back, so I had it in my library and my friend has been playing it, so I don't know, it's weird to like, it's something I kind of want to pontificate on, but we're close to the end of the episode where like,
I mean, we could use the time. I don't know what would you like to pontificate on about it.
Well, so it's this object of like, why do I play games that don't make me feel good when I play them? Like I played Avengers, and I keep going back to Avengers, and I keep playing like one or two missions, and then being like, I don't actually like playing this, and I'll stop. And then like a couple days later, I'll be like, I should play Avengers again. And then I'll play it one or two times and be like, no, this isn't fun. And I'll stop. And I do the same thing with Overwatch. I do the same thing with, you know, Dead by Daylight. And it's just, what is it about these games that like, I guess it's like I want them to be good. And I'm hoping that like if I play them enough, it'll hit that magic sort of like suddenly poof. Oh my God, I'm having fun playing this. And it never comes?
Is it maybe, like, all of these are really cool games in their premise, in their, like, the Avengers, it has the Avengers in it. It has something that you would like or want to identify with. This one, it has, like, the Scream Killer. It has, like, these various guys in it that, like, oh, I would like to play as Freddy Krueger. I'd like to play as this character. But is it maybe that you're setting yourself up with the idea of, like, oh, maybe it's just a skill thing, and if I'm good enough at the game, I'll get that high.
You know, I think that is probably a lot of it. I think it's partly the idea of I'm not good enough at this game yet, and if I play it enough, eventually I'll hit a skill level where suddenly this will become fun. And I like that makes total sense with Overwatch, because I'm always like, I just need to play it more and eventually I'll be good enough at the game where I'll be in a range of players that I don't feel like fucking morons every time I play. I have like such a short attention span that I can never play games. Like I always like move on to other stuff. If I was streaming, I would not be a single game streamer. You know, I would not be able to play Overwatch every day for 365 days a year on stream and still like Overwatch. But like, that's what some people do. And that's those are the people that are really good at the game.
But I mean, you also like you are capable of getting good at games. You do play the Dark Souls franchise. You do play those sorts of games. But I wonder if in these games, is it the multiplayer aspect? Because that's a part you can't control.
That is a very good point. I didn't think about that. And I have been playing a lot of multiplayer games recently. Like Avengers, Overwatch, Dead by Daylight, Fall Guys.
Is it something where if you play with everybody in there, you know, and so there's no like randos in there, so you know everybody, and ideally they probably have equivalent skill levels. Is it more fun then?
It could be. Like I definitely feel like multiplayer is always better when you know the people you're playing with. I've never liked jumping into like a random first person shooter lobby and playing with people. Most of the time when I play Overwatch, I'm by myself and I don't ever get into the chat because most of the people who play Overwatch are toxic as fuck. But and yeah,
that put a cap on me, was realizing that for Overwatch for myself, I played without a mic and then I would get like people just verbally yelling at me because I didn't go on mic. And like, it became not fun because I realized like the best teams are people who all knew each other and verbally talked to each other and stuff, were executing like moves. While if we're all a bunch of players who aren't really miking up and stuff, nobody's going to make like the deep plays that the pros, you'll never be at a pro level then.
Yeah. And I guess I've been trying really hard to get into the mindset of like just playing games casually and like, just like not worrying about skill level and that sort of stuff. But like whenever I try to do that, I realize I'm not actually having fun playing them.
Like, you like to push yourself.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've always sort of gravitated towards single player games anyway. I've preferred either single player games or like co-op games where you're working with other people. And that means I'm usually playing with someone else I know, so I'm having a good time, even if it's like a difficult game.
This is how I feel about like two examples I can give is, this is the Mortal Kombat dilemma for me, actually, which is I really like the characters in Mortal Kombat, and I identify with like when new characters come out, like John Rambo, I think, is in the new one. And I'm like, man, I really want to play as Rambo, but I'm not going to buy Mortal Kombat to play as Rambo because I'm going to suck at the game Mortal Kombat. And I don't need to be Rambo and get my ass kicked over and over and over by various people. And sure, I could take the time and get good at it, but that doesn't appeal to me. So I could see that I have that fantasy or that desire of like, that's what's cool about the game. It has this one character that I really like, but I don't actually like the game.
Yeah, like that's always been me with fighting games. Like I am terrible at fighting games, but I still get like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter because I want to play them. Like I like the characters and I like the idea behind fighting games, but I'm never good at them. And that's why I like want to play with like you, because like we take fighting games about the same level of seriousness and are at the same level of good at them. Like when the two of us sat down and played Mortal Kombat and you were just like the Aaron Black, the gun guy, and you were just like shooting me over and over again and I was getting annoyed at you. But like that's the level of, you know, us.
Because you can figure out how to beat that. And like for me, it's sometimes I just pulled out a gun and I'm like, I didn't know I could even do this. Now my guy's like pointing a gun. I don't know how to fire it. And then you can like whoop my ass. This is how the other example I have, this is those 4X games. I don't like 4X games, but I enjoy playing them with friends.
Yeah.
That's what makes a big difference. If 4X games were online and I had to play them against like randos, oh, there's no way I would play a 4X type game.
Yeah. But that's also very true. I agree with that. It's like, it's about like the conversation and stuff like that. And like playing it with people. It's just like playing like complicated board games in real life too.
Yeah, true. like Arkham Horror, if it was online or on like a tabletop simulator and you could just play with random people, well, yes, it would be great because you have people who would play it. It wouldn't be as fun. It would just kind of be weird.
Yeah, although it would probably be easier to set up.
True, if it, somebody could just make it for you, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're at the end of the podcast here. I felt like this was a decent little going through what I've been playing, what you played a little bit of, and interesting discussion on video game music. Before I get into the regular sign-off stuff, I did want to give a shout-out. It's going to be like a month in the past now by the time this comes out, and so I apologize. But I recently was asked to be a part of a friend of mine's podcast called Story Route Zero, and they had me on for to talk about Hades, and we talked about Hades, which I love. It's a very good game, and you should definitely check that out. And my friend Infinite Rewind on Twitter, he is a blast. I've been playing Remnant with him and my other friend Julian.
What's the name of the podcast though?
The name of the podcast is Story Route Zero.
Ah.
And yeah, so I guessed on that a while back. It was came out either first or second week of October, so whenever you're listening to this, if you want to go check that out, I was on that, and it's a good podcast, so you should also add that your lists and whatnot if you want to listen to other cool people talk about video games. And yeah, and I know they listen to the podcast sometimes. I don't know if they're caught up and will hear this one. But, you know, I appreciate people listening to the podcast, and I appreciate all of you.
Story Route Zero, Episode 40, Game Club Number 7, Hades, is October 8th, 2020, was your episode.
There you go. There you go. You found it. But yes, that's the full information if you want to go look for it. When this comes out, and I am hoping that I will soon have other guests star spots I can talk about on other podcasts as well. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's all I've been doing outside of the Make Me a Gamer space so far. But it was a pleasure to be on another podcast and talk with some other cool people about cool games. So, that's the end of it. Harvey Z, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheZIsSilent. And I just realized I don't have to keep spelling out what it is because it's at the bottom of this podcast in the information section.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time.
So, like, go look at that and, like, pretend I just said it. And that's how you spell it.
Good to know you're paying attention. You can find me on Twitter at TMANPlaysGames. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can email us, as I said earlier, at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find my writings when I do them at TMANWrites.com. You can always join our Discord, which is also in the description for the podcast. I'd love to have more people in there talking about games and other things. And yeah, that's it. Harvey Z, take us out.
I was going to go deep, but I don't, like, and by deep, I didn't mean, like, philosophical deep. I just meant, like, deep-voiced. Although, we should, new idea to make money. Can we profit off of ASMR? Like, what do I need to say to people to get them to pay me money for this sweet, sweet voice?
God, I don't even
like,
want
to
go
there. Do I just
there.
Need to make, like, sound effects? Like, this is a burbling brook. Burbling, bubbling, bubbling, burble, burble.
I mean, I think burbling works, too.
Yeah, so pay me for this, goddammit. Burble, burble, burble. Burble, burble, burble.
Bloop. Okay, that is not...
Bloop.
Goddammit.
$5. I think that's worth $5. You can have that. That's just a taste. Or you could hire me, and I'll just do that, like, on the phone for you for, like, I was about to say 15 minutes, but I should probably figure out, like, what are prices that people would pay for, like, phone stuff?
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are plenty of websites you can go to that have listings for phone stuff. Might not be what you're looking for to talk about, though.
I think Harvey Z needs to do some research.
No.